Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Welcome, everyone, to City Alpha 3, Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party. I'm Philip Gilfus, your host du week, and I'm joined by Daniel Prue and Darren Moser. Gentlemen, how is your Star Trek November going?
It's almost Star Trek December, the rate these things are going.
I'm already putting up my Star Trek December decorations.
Not the Enterprise, the Voyager in the tree.
Oh, wait, do we know what the this year's
I just
Hallmark,
watched Death Wish.
Do we know what this year's Hallmark?
It's usually like two or three, but I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I haven't seen the news about that.
Maybe. It's going to be three ornaments. It's the Discovery A with one, and then you hang the nacelles separately on two other branches.
No, don't be silly, Darren. That's so silly.
I mean, it sounds silly, but yet I could see it happening.
Why would the nacelles not be attached? It doesn't make any sense, man.
Have you seen the new Eagle Moss model and the,
I know,
and the plastic
it is,
clip?
They are sort of transparently attached.
It's, oh, yeah. Well, this is not the Eagle Moss podcast, but Coda Watch. I have yet to start Coda again, so I'll
send it to
get
us.
Around.
So this
can
be the Eagle Moss.
So Coda is going to be your alphabetical rewatch, Darren.
It will be. Okay. It will be. Three books that I have to listen to. And make, you know, I don't have a commute anymore, guys. That's when I would listen to the audiobook. Mm-hmm. So I got to find the time. Yeah, but no, besides that, and just watching Prodigy and enjoying that. But what about you, Daniel?
Still trudging along on season two of Deep Space Nine. My significant other has very, very hardcore latched on to Chief O'Brien. She's very attracted to Chief O'Brien.
Smiley.
She likes hyper... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, he's so good at his job. He always
competent.
Hyper competency. Thank you. That's the one I was looking for. Mm-hmm. So we watched the one the other day where.
So is she writing, you know, fanfic where she's replacing Keiko? Like, how far is this going?
Are you both cheering against Keiko? Is that?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. We watched the episode where you don't know what's going on the whole episode. He gets very suspicious of people over time, and they. But it turns out that he was a clone from this other race. And she thought for sure everybody was acting weird because it was a surprise party.
But it's him acting weird.
But it was him because they all knew.
Which is different from the time he acts suspicious when the Paw Wraith takes over his wife.
Yes.
And also different from the time he acts suspicious where he was a
mirror
incarcerated.
Version.
Yeah, or a mirror version.
Or the time that his body got taken over with Guinan and...
Power play.
Yeah, power play, yeah. So... A lot happens to him,
Troy.
So,
Yeah.
But good stuff. So
just for the record, because of course I had to Google, there's a few ornaments this year.
Okay.
You have Mirror, TOS, Spock, and Chekhov. It's an odd pairing, but that's what it is. I mean, separate, but those are the two offerings there. Next, I'm scrolling because there's a few. It's the La Serena from Star Trek Picard.
Okay.
And then you have the HMS Bounty, the Bird of Prey from Star Trek IV.
Which is just a reissue of the
Bird of Prey.
HMS Bounty written on the side. Yeah. Okay, got it.
And then there's I don't know if this is a Walmart exclusive or still Hallmark, but it's kind of a, I don't know how to describe it, other than a sort of a golden original TOS Enterprise.
I think they have a gold
Delta
line.
Base.
Oh, anyway. That's nice.
Kind of.
Interesting.
Anyway.
So heavy on the TOS this
TOS,
year.
TOS,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's not really a surprise. It's always heavy on the TOS.
I have an Enterprise C. I love pulling that.
I do, too. I have a Voyager and a... I want to say Deep Space. No, Defiant. I do have a Defiant.
Is it tiny? Is it like, do you lose it?
It's actual size.
Yeah.
So
actual size from that one episode.
That's the runabout. That's the runabout.
Oh, You're right.
Well, TOS or DS9 or even TNG is not necessarily what we're talking about, but I'm sure we probably still talk about it anyway. What I thought is, you know, it's another month/week of New Trek, and we can either get into the episode specifically or the series in general, but we've had At least since the last time we talked Prodigy, two more episodes from Star Trek Prodigy. And then we had the season four premiere of Star Trek Discovery with Kobayashi Maru. So the Prodigy episodes we didn't talk about so far were Dreamcatcher and Terra Firma. So I guess we can either review or just talk series in general. But Prodigy, Daniel, any thoughts on where we are with the fake cadet crew of the Protostar?
I'm going to start with a rant just because it annoyed me to no end. There is a sequence in which hologram Janeway, I guess we can call her, is, because she literally references the real Captain Janeway, that's what she says, is trying to help the younglings, and she's on the bridge. She's the only one on the ship at this point. And she starts verbally talking to the computer, which almost made me, I get it, I understand.
It's a separate system, Daniel.
It's not a separate system.
A separate system. Holodeck and holograms have always been separate from the computer.
It just bothers me. She is the computer, but she's talking to herself. It's fine, I get it.
The doctor does it all the time. The doctor's like, computer, activate a force field around this holo.
But
he doesn't just look up and go, blink,
Data
blink.
Talks to you the know. Computer, Daniel.
I know, and he should just plug in. Whatever.
Look, every time we plug in like a holographic
Data,
or a computer system, something bad happens. That's reasons we keep... Do you know firewalls, Daniel? We need to keep these systems separate.
But
that's why I only do Wi-Fi. I'm never going to trust putting the internet cord into my computer.
The internet cord. But anyways, so we got I can never remember her name.
Gwyn?
Is that it?
Gwyn.
Okay.
Yeah, like a regular Earth Gwyn.
Okay.
Yeah, like Gwen Stacy.
Gwyn. Okay. So she's on our team now. So that was good. I'm glad that we got her, encounter with her father. I thought that was a really clever little twist where you thought that he was going to take the ship.
It did get me. And you would think after watching the trick so many times, you think the audience, but no, it still got
me. You will get me this time. Oh, you got me.
So I liked that. I thought that was really clever. It revealed the character of her father. It still feels, it just feels so Star Wars-y with this guy they call the
Diviner
and like, it's this
progeny
parent drama, and like it's like turn to the dark side, and he's like, you can tell he doesn't really want to leave her behind. He's sad about it, but he also still does it. So there's a little bit of character there that like you can still definitely explore down the line. But at least now she's on the team, she's on the squad, and she was sitting in the captain's seat, and I thought that was great. I think she's a much more appropriate
character.
She's
the only
character.
One who knows how to fly the ship.
Well, with most kids that age, and I mean maybe no matter what the age, but especially kids that age, the girl needs to be in charge of the guy. She's a little more mature.
You can be lead head of away teams. I'm going to sit in the chair.
We also learned the twist, which of the ship itself, which is that there's a very tiny, I guess, a micro protostar inside.
What? There's a protostar inside the protostar inside the protostar core?
Yep.
So telegraphing
it's like putting a
much?
Disco in Discovery. Wait a minute. Every ship.
Yeah, so that's now a thing. But
it's like they started a business on the Enterprise.
Wait a minute.
Free Enterprise?
The station was in deep space the whole time. Voyager went on a trip.
Oh, no. The Defiant did not follow many of the rules, now that I think about it.
We've cracked the code.
Wait a minute. Discovery has discovered nothing.
The future.
More drive.
I'm not sure about anything there on that one, but...
Well, Darren, what'd you think about the Protostar
Spock
revelation?
Spock shuttled Spock to other places. No, I agree with all that Daniel said. I like where this is going. It's nice. It feels like these first four episodes were now...
You mean five?
Oh, no. Whatever. Let's not get back into it.
this first era... Now,
quarters first season,
quarter score,
quarter quill.
We've now created the main team. we're all in our positions. We're, you know, this is the origin. It just takes a couple episodes to get there. And yeah, I like these pairings of these two episodes. I mean, it's interesting how, in a way, it's kind of not episodic because this flows. Like, I looked at this episode title and I'm like, is that the episode for the previous episode? Because it could apply to either, you know, the terror planet of, you know, imagination. And, but you know, we see what some of the characters are wanting, which is always a nice visual device to show, you know, do they want to be loved? Do they want to, are they hungry? You know, what are they into? And then, a lot more of Janeway. We get the cool six-wheel drive ship. I can't forget what it's called. But
then immediately gets destroyed.
Well, they could just print up another one. We've established that. So it's not a big deal. But, and then, we get full circle where I'm glad we've not dwelled on the division with Gwen too long, because you don't want to be like, now 20 episodes in, we're finally trusting her. Like, I'm sure there's going to still be a little bit of unease, just a tad, or maybe more. It will shift between her and Dal
Boimler. Yeah, I think his name is Boimler.
No, not between her and Dal, like jockeying for the center seat. Obviously, we know that's coming because she is a better leader in that regard. But he is kind of, you know,
it's better. Instinct, if you would.
Yeah, and
that.
He's more like the emotional leader of the group, where she's like the competent leader of the group. And I would laugh if he like replicates another chair and like puts it next to hers or something, just because I'm like, where is he going to sit? There's not really.
Apollo
any other
Jane
chairs.
Was like, well, that's how we did it on our ship.
Oh, that'd be great. It was interesting. It was a little odd that Hollow Janeway did not know about the Protostar engine. Like, she didn't have access to it. She didn't know what it was. And
I didn't get that. I didn't get that sense of.
She didn't know what the gravimetric field was for.
Yeah, she's like, turn it off. And they're like, you don't have access. She's like, even me? And the computer's like, yes. And she's like, okay.
Oh, I didn't.
Do something else.
Maybe I missed that line or something, but I thought she knew what was going on the whole time.
No. I mean, if she knew what it was going on, then why would she try
because
to turn off the power?
Because she's not the computer. Yeah.
Left hand, right hand Janeway doesn't know what the other one's processing. But we got our ship back. The Diviner made his choice. For the which you will regret forever, and it was a great example of showing, not necessarily telling. Like, you could have done a lot of this in like internal, you know, monologue inside their heads or something like that. But they built this. Obviously, it's a crafted scenario of this planet to show their wants and desires, show her choosing her father, show him not choosing her. And all of that. And I think that played out really well. So I don't really know where we're going next week. I mean, we could go. We're obviously still on the run. He's going to be the Scooby-Doo villain that's chasing them forever. And I did kind of like the in warp. It kind of gave me 09 vibes or, you know, where it's like hunting them down and locking on a tractor beam in warp. And then they're like, well, what if we just put some NOS in our warp engine and just go extra, extra fast?
Turn on the laughing gas.
Yeah. But overall, I like these two episodes.
I suspect the answer is yes, because we've sort of internally on the Nerd Party been making fun of the organizational, how they're doing airing these episodes. You know, it's four episodes and then we're gonna go away and then come back for four more
that
and then
didn't
go
quite
away
make sense.
And then four and then go away and then just 20 episodes and then it's a new season. And but if this is how they're organizing it, because it, you know, there's some
this is a good breaking point if there was one.
Yeah, because there's a lot of shows where I think I would be annoyed that it's, because it's not going slow, but as you said, Darren, this is all the first four episodes are basically the origin. And like you said, you know, when's Gwen, because you know Gwen's gonna be part of the group, but like she's not. And we didn't know what the
what, she's a main character, she's gonna stick around. I did not see that coming.
We didn't know what the third nacelle was gonna come in, and you know, but it they they milked it appropriately. They really paced it really good about not giving us everything in the first episode or the second or the third. And then, like, every episode kind of left me, I mean, for a kid's show, left me as a cliffhanger. Because, like, episode two, or anyway, is it, or three, when the protostar just crash lands, you're like,
right,
was that the end of it? I mean, like, the whole point was to go into space. And it's like, bam, nope.
I mean, granted, you know, they're the ones who tried to land that ship on a single foot. Doesn't seem very stable.
You know, too, but, you know, we've been talking about it too, and like the whole like wind situation is handled much less black and white than I would have expected on something like Prodigy. Like, like there was like three or four turnabouts on this one where it's like, wow, she was gonna leave them behind, and then like she did call her dad, and then like all of a sudden now they're all mad at her, and like then
but she rescued Merv.
But then she rescued. So it's like points, it's like there's a lot of gray for this kind of a show, and it's
she's actually a complex character, just a one note.
Yeah, and it's great. It's awesome. That's it's really cool.
Who has daddy issues? Major
what?
Daddy issues.
What? Yeah. We're supposed to have mommy issues. Look at Mariner. Anyway, but yeah, and again, this is so textbook and trope-ish, but it worked 100% on me when they had the shot of like the diviner walking up to the ship, and then you see Janeway's perspective of someone's walking up on the ship covered in sunlight. I mean, 100% fell for it.
Yeah, me too. I thought that. I'm like, oh no, like, are we, because they're kind of screwed if they're left on the planet without a ship. And then it was, I'm like, wait, but how? Oh, yeah, it totally got me. It's like, we've literally been showing you this planet makes illusions for like the last 90 minutes or whatever.
You know this show's for kids, right? You idiot.
I know.
How did you not see this coming?
We're full of the kids. Good thing adults aren't watching. No, but that's all to say, because there's actually, to me, been cliffhangers. And now this quarter has now set up, we got the team, we've gone to amazing speed. Like, I have no idea where they're going. We have no idea what the course is.
I don't think they know where they're going.
And how fast can this thing go? Are we going to, like, the Alpha Quadrant? Like, we don't know.
Wait, is this a backdoor Farscape pilot? We don't know where we're going. We had engaged a hypothetical drive. Now we're going to end up in the far reaches.
Fooled you guys. We're really exploring the Gamma Quadrant. Hello.
Wait, when they just one thing to note too, when Janeway was like, "Oh, there's an M-class planet in this system." Did you guys catch what system it was?
The bad guys.
Yes, the Hirogen. It was the Hirogen.
Oh,
system.
Hirogen system.
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh, cool, we'll see the Hirogen again." And we never.
I know. I was like, "Oh,"
but no, maybe later.
Well, now we know why the Hirogen don't come to this planet. Yeah.
Make good hunting.
They kind of would. It's kind of like a holographic planet in a way. Like, you know, if you can survive, I can see the Hirogen being like, yes, we beam our young down here for 3 days and three nights. If they live, you know, we'll beam them back up and they become warrior youths or something.
That'd be cool. I have no guesses for how Prodigy will go. I mean, obviously, it's still set up that the Diviner is chasing them to get the protostar up. But there's still so many unanswered questions. How'd the protostar get there? What happened to the crew? How does the Diviner know about the protostar? And so...
Yeah.
Are they going to go back to Federation space? Are they going to just explore around for a while? Where does Chakotay fit in this? Because we know the actor's somewhere.
Who is what species is Dal? And, you know, where is it?
Yeah, what does that matter? And, you know.
What species is Murph? I care more about that.
he's a...
Oh, you know what? I guess we didn't get a shot of it. But we could have easily had, like, a shot of Murph, like, eating... Like seeing a bunch of fake food or treats or something. I think that was a setup for a joke on the planet.
What is Murph want?
Yeah, what does Murph want? Yes. I'd like to know a little bit more. That'd be fun. But
Murph's like playing chess with another Murph. You're like, what? Like high level brain function.
I want some intellectual stimulation, please.
Well, I think about Murph, like he could be either age 0 or 98. We have no idea how sentient he is at all.
True.
You know.
I think I've heard suggestions that he's a Denobian slime devil, which I would totally be on board with us finally seeing that.
Because
you could really make him be whatever. I've heard that it is a species we know. They just haven't told us what it is yet.
That's fine. I'm down with that.
And I was like, it was episode 2 or 3 where Jenk and Pog let slip that he was from the Tellarite sleeper ship. because that's how does an Alpha Quadrant species in the Delta Quadrant. And so,
oh, I missed that.
It was such a quick, like, oh, I'm a sleeper ship. And I'm like, what?
I like how, when, of course, every time you say his name, like,
Jacob Pong. Because
he talks in the third person all the time, I'm like, are you now talking as Jacob Pong? Or are you talking about Jacob Pong?
The thing about this show, and I don't know that they're ever going to actually establish it, but it's interesting because we get a lot of Alpha Quadrant stuff. Like, I feel like, I don't know if we're, like, on the edge or something, but, like, there was the Klingon ship. And like,
that's true.
Everybody's familiar with a lot of sort of Alpha Quadrant.
Well, technically, I mean, Alpha Quadrant's a quarter of the galaxy, so you could be right on the edge.
Yeah.
Well, although,
and Klingons are Beta Quadrant.
Yeah. Well, either way, like,
I think,
like,
technically in the diagram, I think
to the cartography,
Delta borders Beta.
Yeah.
So they'd have to be.
Well, it would have to border diagonal. Two of them, right? Because it's
in the middle. It's a pie.
There's that spot in the galaxy where you can do the four corners thing, like in Nebraska.
Wait a minute, they're quadrants, though. So you would have to have Alpha, Beta,
right?
Delta,
it's like
gamma.
it's a circle. So go to the whiteboard.
Yeah, pull it up, so we can.
Squares are circles.
Either way, my point is that we are. Besides the fact that he is a Tellarite, which is clearly an Alpha Quadrant species, we've now.
It looks like this.
Right. So each quadrant is bordering two other quadrants.
Right. So I'm saying Alpha and Delta don't border.
Oh, well whatever. Saying. Yeah, whatever. I wasn't using...
That's all I was saying.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying. But.
Yeah, it does border, just not with Alpha. But again, we all know the Federation, and they love broadly using the term Alpha Quadrant to mean all of known space.
You know, it's like how you all say you're Americans, but you really just mean the U.S., you know, there's North America, guys.
Hey,
you know,
Philip, that's a great point that we should talk about, because just a couple of days before Discovery dropping, Paramount Plus.
Are we stirring the pot?
We should talk about it. Because,
when non-North America basically got...
You picked a bad time to move is all we're saying.
I mean, they said...
Well, it's fine for me, but personally.
Yeah, they pulled everything from
Netflix, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, and they even pulled... what was on Netflix, because, like, Discovery was on Netflix. Like, you know, I could open up Netflix and there's three seasons of Discovery. Now there's not. Not even talking about the actual airing. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure everyone knows, but if you don't know, this was, you know, 2 days before the Discovery premiere, where most of the world gets it on Netflix, and they just basically said, like, yeah, we're not doing that. We're pulling all of Star Trek from Netflix, and for y'all, like, the UK and Europe and other places that are getting Paramount Plus in 2022, you just wait till then. You'll get it then. And it's like, oh. So, like, it had been cool if this had been months before.
You go on Twitter, every single post I saw was about this, like, the uproar. And I have to imagine it's got to be some sort of contract at the last minute didn't work. Because that's the only reason I would think they would do it 2 days before, is that they were going to do Netflix, and then it just time ran out, and they're like, we're not renewing, or Netflix is like, we want money, or something. That I have to imagine that's what it was.
But if you're cutting off, you know, most of the world, you would think it would be worth, because it's not like Paramount Plus is available everywhere.
It's not even available in Canada, right? Yeah, they use like Crave or something, I think, of it.
So sign the damn contract for a year and eat the cost, and then you make your fans happy. We are appealing to ginormous.
I mean, I still don't know why Paramount Plus can't be accessed in the UK. Like,
it's region locked.
Technologically, what is preventing Disney Plus from launching in the UK? Like, there's. Like, what are they waiting for?
January or February? I don't know why.
I don't know
how business and region locks work. So, yeah, because what I do, and I mean, I still have my US Paramount Plus, so I just do a VPN early in the morning when y'all are asleep and watch some Star Trek. So. But yeah, no, it sucks, especially because they had, I went to, Destination Star Trek, and they had the Discovery cast, like, and which, I mean, we already knew Prodigy wasn't coming.
So it's nice that they they dropped this after
they
the con.
It. Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, can you imagine if they had announced this before the con? Oh my gosh, it would have been a bloodbath.
Well, they wouldn't have paid to have their people come over. I mean, like, the cast, it's not their fault, of course, but that's right. I mean, I suspect they paid to have the cast come over here. Because, I mean, I don't know this for a fact. I assume it's different from people currently in Trek versus people not currently in Trek. That people currently in Trek have to, I mean, it's not like they're like, oh, I'll accept your money. I'm
right. Sure it's part of their Paramount contract.
Like, CBS.
It's, what is it called? It's like when any movie has the press junket.
Promotion.
Like
it's yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're gonna put you out at this con because it's right before the beginning of your new season. Versus, you know, I played Naomi Wildman 30 years ago, and I'm gonna just show up at a con.
So it's like, yeah, Philip goes to Destination London or whatever it's called, and like all these people, like, and they're like, oh, watch Discovery, you know, coming this fall. And you're like, okay, how do I do that?
Pretty much.
Well, you can't. You can't watch it technically, legally. There's no way to do it. It's like,
well, I mean, get ready in a couple months. Yeah.
Whenever Paramount Plus happens to grace your country. So
look, I get what happened, guys. In the UK, they put the day first when they write out the days, and it totally messed up the entire thing. So they meant to put 11/2, and instead we get 2/11.
So it's coming out February 11th.
Yep. That's what happened.
That sounds typical. Sounds typical.
I mean, it's as good an explanation I've heard as any, so we're going to run with it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, it does suck for folks. So, yeah, I feel like I wish I had, like, some big projector, because it'd be like, all right, guys, come on over Saturday
night. Oh, it just happens to be Star Trek on the side of my wall outside. How convenient. Turn your radios to FM 582 and you can listen in. Well, yeah, I mean, and unfortunately, I mean, people have shown time and again, if you make it available, people will buy it. People want to watch Star Trek. They want to find it.
Yeah.
You make it easy, you know. Even if you have to get a new service, like, that's still available.
Yeah, people are going to do it.
And so, unfortunately, it's like, well, then people are just going to find other ways because that's what they do.
Yeah. And it was not like it didn't happen and then this is the new way. It's like you already had it and then they took it away.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be, you know, be another thing like, oh, you have to do a new service to watch this. Like, if it was Prodigy, you know, oh, there's a new service for Prodigy. Okay, you can make the choice. But if it's like you've been watching Discovery for 3 years on Netflix and something like, we're not doing that anymore. F y'all.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Really crappy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this Brexit's fault? I feel we should blame Brexit because everybody blames Brexit for everything.
Yeah. Anyway. So let's get into Discovery. So, Daniel, did you take the Kobayashi Maru?
Did you pass?
I definitely didn't pass because I'm pretty sure I fell asleep during the episode. I remember. A Cardassian Bajoran president lady. I'm not sure. Why does Discovery change their uniforms? Why are there so many uniforms in Discovery? I can't keep up. I just can't. It's every season.
They wore dress uniform and then they wore their regular uniform.
It was fine.
Everyone got promoted.
Remember, what was the thing? It was book on the planet. And the planet got blown up. That's what it was.
It got Vulcaned or Romulan, depending upon what you do.
Yeah, those guys are dead. I mean, there's not.
His nephew and his brother and
it's just from some whatever anomaly.
Anomaly.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the next episode is called Anomaly, so okay. Spoilers.
Just like season 2, episode 2 was called the Red Spheres or the Glowing Orbs or whatever.
Or the Spock's not in this one.
No, okay.
By and large, I thought it was, you know, because, look, I don't like Discovery. We all know that. But by and large, it was, you know, I was like, okay. I mean, I saw they did things and they set up things and they had moments. You know, you got to see, you know, new group of Star Trek Academy graduates that from different species. Everyone got promoted, though it did annoy me because I can't see their ranks. Because I know people can't see where I'm pointing right now. I know it's on their kind of like the
com badge.
It's on like TOS movies. I know, except it's on the opposite side, but it's on their little whatever strap. But you still can't see it because it's because they have like this line that I thought was the rank, but everyone has that. It's like right under it has like the rank, but it's so small. Plus the com. So like for instance, Tilly's now a lieutenant. Oh, Lordy, what's her name? Detmer. Detmer's now a lieutenant commander, I believe.
Ooh.
I think those are all the promotions I kind of caught.
So does she, you know, get a promotion because of PTSD? Like, she's gone through enough that she has to...
But we'll never talk about it. We'll never actually get to it.
But yeah, I...
Saru is promoted to... Oh, wait.
Never mind. Oh, yeah.
By the way, can we talk about how bad of an idea it is to do a diplomatic mission with a captain and their significant other? Like, this seems like terrible protocol breaking. Like, they just go out there on that...
Like, 1,000 years have passed. We don't care about those protocols anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, we no longer have the Worf Dax corollary.
That's fine. That's fine. That's right. Remember how bad that went? We learned. We know why how bad... Picard had one incident with a significant other, and he was like, nope, can't do this anymore. This is just... Yeah, but whatever. It's fine.
Well, I mean, I have a few complaints, but I won't go into them all because I don't want to be that guy. But it's a backwards complaint. I don't have problems with any of the multiple stories. You know, you have Discovery, you have Booker, which is Discovery, but still he's back as good as his home planet. You have Saru. But I just felt like doing all of them in the same episode, like, save Saru to episode two. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so choppy at times where... I mean, they're all good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying like, oh, this is a dumb story. They were all fine, but it's just like, I feel like when you're mashing them all into 40 minutes or 50 minutes or however long it is, it's like, let it breathe a little. So I'm like, save Saru, like have Saru be half the episode next time, you know?
If part of that might be, because, I mean, we know Doug Jones wants to do less Saru. Not that he's leaving the character, but, you know, it's a lot on him. I'm wondering if, like, part of that is a holdover from... maybe reshoots or rewriting or reworking this season. Who knows when that happened?
Darren.
I mean, just a possibility.
You've seen three seasons of this show. And one of our constant complaints has been the breakneck pace of this show. This is just Discovery.
True.
This is how they want to tell 14 stories in 1 minute, and that's how it works. It's just Discovery. So I'm not surprised by that at all. What did you guys think of the president lady? Did you guys like her or...
Ish. Because y'all know, I mean, I've said this before.
Kirkwood Smith for president. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, this just isn't a Discovery issue. This is the whole Star Trek franchise, so I'm not picking a Discovery when I say this. But y'all know, I say this every time. It's such a trope to do the politician is here to mess us up. Yeah, they're cynical and they're not. I mean, not that she was crooked or anything.
They don't know how it really is here on the ground.
And it's just like I'm sick of it. These are public servants. I mean, if we and I got soapbox for 10 seconds. If we don't want to be a cynical society, especially in Star Trek, we don't want to project cynical portrayals of public servants. So I mean, like, how about she's an awesome president? Wouldn't that be awesome? But I know it's like, oh, we have to have conflict, you know? And I'm like, no, we don't.
In Discovery, we do apparently. So.
Yeah, but I also didn't get Michael being such a whatever about her because, like, maybe it's and this is my retcon. Maybe it's her 23rd century personality because it's very Kirk. He didn't like, you know, civilians either. but she's like, the president's coming on board. Ugh. The president just wants to get, you know, say that she was had experience on a starship and had. I'm like, who gives a like? That's a good thing.
So when the presidential review board comes up, she can say, look, I went on a starship. Like, nobody cares.
But you want that. You would want your president to have been on your starship. What, you want your president of the Federation never have been on a starship? I mean, that would be an awesome responsibility. You get to be the person to. Show the President of the Federation around and show how a starship works and what a captain needs and what a crew needs. Like, see it as a good thing. This automatic – and then that the writers, because I don't blame the characters, setting up like these two women have to be in conflict. I'm like, or they don't. They could just be working together. And then at the end, I mean, not to reveal everything, but like, you know, the president's like, oh, no, I really came here to see if you could be captain of the next Voyager. And Michael's kind of like, I would have said no anyway. But – this is why you're wrong. And I'm just thinking to Michael, like, why do you give a blank? I mean, like, really? I mean, because A, as the character, Michael, you don't usually give a shit about anyone. And in a good way. You're a very confident person. I don't mean that to be mean. But, like, who cares what the president thinks? That she doesn't think you're a good captain. You're Captain of Discovery.
Why does the president have anything to say about who gets...
she's Commander-in-Chief.
The head of Starfleet, not the...
I don't know what you want from me.
Go back to Paris and sit with your glasses. That's all you need.
You got to remember, the Federation's this big now. So
That's true.
Okay, I was happy to hear that they were addressing the fact that, hey, we now have this technology in Starfleet. We can just replicate it. And it sounds like they call it, I think, like the Pathway or the Pathfinder Drive or something like that. The next Voyager.
Trans Mushroom. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to have some sort of drive. Who, maybe it's going to be a Prodigy crossover. I don't even know at this point. But it's also going to have the presumably the same kind of ability as Discovery. It still annoys me that Discovery is a ship 1,000 years removed and like there's no like liaison at least to like modern times that's like sending a troop out.
Things haven't changed that much.
Well, that's the writer's fault, Darren.
I mean, it was really sad when they fired on the Borg cube, not realizing that they're now part of the Federation, you know, after the armistice of 2555. You know.
That's right. The Borg in this century have taken over the realm. Anyway.
Yeah, the Romu Borg.
Romu Borg.
Yeah, so I didn't like that because I mean it just seems though I mean, well maybe I agree with what the president has to say about Michael. But that's neither here nor there. I just like it just seemed like a needless conflict of personalities. I mean it's just like why can't it just be cool? And because you still have the anomaly at the end, you still have the guy's planet blowing up. That's the only conflict you really need. Sheesh. Though, and I'll have to say this, I started to hate the beginning of the episode, which is a personal taste, because it was very, like, into darkness of, like, because it had that sort of vibe, as the kids say, of, like, ha-ha, first contact, isn't it funny? I'm like, well, it's actually a pretty serious thing, but it was whatever. But that's me.
Second contact is funny. First contact, yeah. Very serious.
Well, I know, I was thinking, like, okay, everyone's seen Lower Decks now, but this is Discovery there, or, you know, it's live action, it's to be more serious, but it was Kelvin-y.
It was very reminiscent of that, yeah, I think so.
Which is not bad, but I liked how then they had a science-y fix to it, and they had the whole crew working together, which is kind of episode of the season. Good. And so you kind of met the crew again, reacquainted. So that was cool to me. That kind of saved what was a silly scene to me, but it's fine. I just have problems. I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, did you like kind of meeting the crew again, Daniel?
I liked. I really, really. I don't even know why, but I was really drawn to the lead actor who played the butterfly guy. I really thought he did it like he does that like sort of Data sort of like aloof sort of like I don't understand like you know I think he played it really really well. I had the same exact thoughts as you did of like this is literally the opening to Into Darkness all over again. Like this is exactly the same thing almost. But like you I think it was resolved better than it was set up. So that part didn't bother me. I thought it was pretty good. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm you know they like I don't like this guy we have said, but like season 4 is okay, you know it's okay. Where are we going? I mean, we just blew up a guy's planet. I mean, it seems very. I don't want to say trope because I don't know. I get it. You want to raise the stakes. You want to have a character who has an investment. It's very like Trip loses his sister in half of Florida. You know, in the season
3,
end of season 2, right? Yeah, 3. Anyway, but anyway, so now you're gonna have Booker being like. We got to find out because they killed my family and my planet. But, yeah. So, I don't know.
There's one scene that I did see, the Archer space dock scene.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, is it fan service to play Face of the Heart? Yes, absolutely. Did I absolutely love it? Yes. Like, you know.
I think it would actually be anti-fan service to play Face.
Well, you know.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
We're directly we're directly hearkening back to the Berman era.
They got me. Yeah. They got me with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I really, really hope for more than just that. But I will give them credit because it's like I was like, oh my god, Archer! Any like references to Archer? I think there should be. He's the George Washington of the Star Trek universe, man. Like you should mention him all the time.
The George Washington. Of mm-hmm. It's so true. So is he going to be on the one Latinum coin, the one Latinum bar? Circled Archer around? City? Does the Federation use? We have Lake Armstrong and Archer City.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to say, but I actually went to Jonathan Archer Elementary School.
There's a statue.
Did you know all of us grew up on the moon? And, he's putting his hand out, reaching to the stars. And,
what was this?
I mean, like, UK's kind of a moon, right?
No.
What was the, I don't remember the Saru bit. What was going on there? I can't remember the part.
It was, he's the elder of the people. And he was counseling his young Padawan, who's like, I destroyed the world, I should feel bad. And Siri was like, you shouldn't. And I'm like, I think he should. I think it was sort of how they're going to rebuild society if they wanted to, like, invest. Because there was, like, two choices of, like, should we go to space or should we da-da-da-da?
That's true.
And he's like, yeah, space is good.
Well, it wasn't, what's the name of the planet?
Calamar? That's not
Calamar.
Kaminar.
Kaminar.
Yeah. I was close.
It's not like Kaminar first. You know, he's not trouting some Prime. Doctrine.
Wait. Is Kaminar the name of the planet the clones are in from Star Wars?
No, that's Kamino.
Kamino. Okay, that's what I keep thinking of. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
No, Kaminar is Saru's planet for the Kelpians. Not Kelpia.
Which would
make more sense.
Or just Kelp.
Yeah. Kelp.
Planet Kelp. What, the Kelpians live on planet Kelp? It totally makes sense. Well, then you have, like, what, Earth and Earthers and Terrans or however you're going to call it.
Earthers are different.
Futurama. Yeah.
So I feel like Discovery should have, because they, of course, they changed their opening, you know, slightly, as they always do, which is fine. I do feel like maybe they should have, like, the Battlestar thing where they list how many planets are in the Federation as of that episode.
It just keeps going up. That would be cool.
Well, hopefully.
I mean, you know, up five, down one, up 10, down 3.
Should have sent that second contact ship.
We're trending.
The Cerritos F is a.
Well, you know, their new scorched planet policy. If you don't join, we just blow up your planet. No, I'm just
kidding. I don't think there was honestly enough plot to really indicate, other than, like, just like every other season of Discovery, there's some thing. That's the bad thing. We have to find.
Why do we always call it a thing out there?
But, like, okay, there's an anomaly. That's all we know. We don't know anything, like, regarding the nature of it or anything like that. I guess it could be just.
We know more about the motivation of the Prodigy storyline than we do about the Discovery.
Absolutely. Yeah, Prodigy kind of has a pretty clear through line. To be fair, there are 4 episodes, 4 or 12, depending on how you count.
Yeah, but even so, it.
Yeah. But Discovery.
Well, wait, 4 20-minute episodes. So, like, really, like, a one Discovery's worth of plot time.
I know, I always beat up on Discovery. I apologize, but I'll keep on doing it. There was that moment, Daniel, I don't know what you thought, where I forget what species that commander was on the space station. He was freaking out, and the president got on the line, like, you know, hey, it's all cool, you know, you get to go back home and blah blah. And then Michael's like, private channel, did you look it up that was, or were you lying? I'm like, who gives a you know, I mean, the president was calming the guy down. Who cares if she was lying out of her teeth? I mean, I just didn't get this antagonism. It just seemed needless.
Yeah, I liked that guy, even though he was, like, I mean, comedically...
Kind of an ass.
Yeah, he was a dick, and he was, like, he was comedically unable to do his job. I can't think of the word I'm thinking, but...
Incompetent.
He was comedically incompetent, but he was... I kind of liked him. I was kind of, like, rooting for him. I'm like, eh.
And then Chris Platt. Yeah,
yep. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's something to think about. I'm not automatically smacking the episode down, but, like, the whole thing of, like, where the president said to Michael something like, you know, you're willing to, you know, wager your whole crew for, you know, for many people, for some people. I mean, it's the whole turning around the needs of the many. But I'm like, like, you're Starfleet. That's what we do. We'll sacrifice our whole ship for one idea, the Prime Directive, or for civilians. Or, I mean, I get they were helping fellow Starfleet.
Same thing in the finale of Lower Decks. I mean, the Cerritos is risking. I mean, the Cerritos could have been easily destroyed in that maneuver, and they would have lost 2 ships. But the point is, we take the risk of destroying 2 ships in order
risk
to save the one.
It's part of this game.
That's why we're out here, Philip. But does that mean the Discovery is going to have an auto hull plate removal button? They hit it and just all the hull plates go, just in case. Just in case. You never know.
Well, the polarization is somewhat different in the future.
What's nice is that, like the nacelles, all the hull plating can just float above, above the actual ship itself. But
watch it. That's how they had it all. like all the Federation ships are like that, and they're like, yeah, but you know, there's it's really hard on the power consumption, and often things go awry, and then the Discovery shows up, and they're like, well, there's this old technology called bolting the whole plate on.
They're called screws, man.
Connecting it. They're like, that's genius. We had lost that technology over the millennia, and now
you joke. It would be fun to have some like 23rd century solutions sometimes.
Yeah,
I would love. Oh, I think it'd be great if they, if a lost 22nd. Oh no, wait, that wouldn't be because that would be from next gen time. I was thinking exocomps. If they like brought back exocomps, they're like, yeah, we have this. You need a multi-tool.
Not just exocomps.
The bots going around.
Not just exocomps, but little princess dogs, bumblebee or whatever.
peanut butter hamper. Peanut hamper.
By the way, guys, sorry, this is jumping series, but my heart skipped a beat when Gwyn like sliced that worker bee in half. I'm like, oh
yeah, I thought the same kind of thing. I was like, oh.
I mean, it's just a machine, I get it, right. But I was like, oh.
Yeah, and speaking of that too, we've not talked about her like Yondu like weapon thing that she has.
But yeah, making her own cast, yeah, which is kind of cool. Like liquid metal.
I think it's pretty cool. I like
it's a really cool technology, yeah. And they don't have to explain it. It just
it just
obviously
works.
It has limits. It does cool stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, we were talking about Discovery. But...
Well, yeah,
I am sorry we were talking about Discovery.
Well, Daniel, what are you? In a good way. Anything, characters that stoked your interest or any storylines? Or we didn't really get much Stam. Well, there's no chief engineer still. Yeah. But, any of the other characters?
Remind me, was Janet Reno in the episode?
I don't think I saw her. I could be wrong. I don't think I saw her. She's in the series, but I don't
know. Right.
This episode.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to beat up on Discovery, but it's just not generally our cup of tea. But, you know, interested-ish to see where it goes, I guess. I just hope it's just not the same. It's 3 seasons of this one big bad thing, the whole season that's all we hyper-focus on, and then, I don't know, I hope there's more room to breathe. I hope it's not like... And then, of course, like last season, it turned out it was a sad kid. That was the conclusion to your giant galactic problem, and it was the...
If you're... telling a story over a whole season and hyping it up so much, you better have a banger of a conclusion.
The payoff
ready.
Better be good, and the payoff was literally non-existent. It was, you know, it was nothing. It was so. Please, if you're going to tell
your child's having a temper tantrum, Mr. Spock.
If this, you know, whatever. If the story,
we saw the milk. there's many other child episodes we've done.
If you're setting up a storyline for the whole season, make the motivation and the agency and like whatever's happening here interesting at least. You know, don't stretch it out if you don't. Whatever. Yeah, Discovery. It's Discovery's going to Discovery, and that's fine.
Disco's going to Disco.
But I hope it's at least something interesting. I'll say that.
Yeah, and I mean they're setting up some ideas. I mean they're spotlighting or lampshading, if you will, that, you know, Michael's, I mean, which we've said before and before and before and before and before, that, you know, Michael, oh, you're always trying to sacrifice yourself, and you're, you know, because of your loss and blah, blah, blah. But and now we're going to have Booker dealing with his loss. And then, not that we talked about this episode, but spoilers, but I feel like this has already been spoiled kind of out there, where they're going to be working to give them a body. You know,
I forgot about that. Did they talk
the symbiote
about
ghost? You know,
did they
I mean,
talk about
basically
that at all this episode or no?
No. I mean, I don't know if that's a spoiler, but I just feel like that's been out there. So
Gray, and
yeah,
Gray.
I couldn't think of anyone's name.
But okay, so can you guys remember the situation from last season? Because I don't. I remember that the old Trill became somehow real again.
So the old Trill died.
Yeah.
And the symbiote went into the new Trill.
Right.
I know. I'm forgetting.
How
a real name.
That's how
and then all of a sudden she could see him.
Right.
And then you know, which is not normal. You normally can't unless you're doing that one special.
Well, they're not normal.
You know,
you would think it would be at least pretty common enough in Trill society.
Right, because the point is that you're integrating with those memories. You're not you're not, yeah. Hang on, let me jot down the time code.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, so you're not normally supposed to be able to see past hosts, and then only they could see them until we had the hologram episode where we were on the, and that's what
the dilithium planet,
the dilithium planet, which realized them in a holographic form,
corporeal,
and then Culver could see them,
right?
And
so we're never going to get an answer to why this is the case.
No, we're never going to answer. Why doesn't matter, Daniel?
Why does it matter? I don't know.
Star-crossed lovers across time.
We're going to have Stamets and Culver be parents, and they're going to have a family, and it'll be great.
Okay, whatever. I mean, whatever. Okay, so they could see them on the hologram planet, but then they came back to the ship, and they couldn't see them anymore, right? But they could see them.
I don't think they kind of believed before. Culver kind of had a, oh, you weren't totally crazy lying that you can see your past host.
Wait, having weird visions about your lover? That's so weird, said Culber.
Yeah.
The guy that died. Okay.
So now I think it's going to become their mission to find a way to, like, oh, wait, well, now we have all this future tech. Maybe we can realize them a body.
Well, hang on. You say future tech. But was there not something put out about a 24th century, what was that? Didn't somebody say something about, Culber discovers, and the implication was it was from Murder Lady on Picard. What was her name?
From Daystrom Institute. Cybernetic,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Whatever. Well, I guess we'll just see in the future. We can talk about it in the future. Yeah. No big deal. Whatever.
Don't worry, guys. It's one of eight plots we're going to follow over the next few episodes. So
well, I just thought it was, I mean, and I'm not saying it was wrong, but I was just funny that, like, you know, oh, we need an away team to the space station. Like, we're out of programmable matter. You got to bring some more in a bucket. Here, brought it.
Bucket.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, sure. But anyway, cool. All
right, guys, well, just run with me here. Bolt the nacelles on. It solves a lot of problems.
I'm just saying. How do you repair it?
I mean, I'm not saying we're the ones who've dealt with the lithium, unlike you people, but anyway.
That'd be funny. They're like, yeah, when we need to repair it, we just slide it over and it bolts into this receptacle slot. It's like, well, why don't you just leave it in the receptacle? Well, you reasons. We can't. Yeah. We can't.
Do you remember the episode of Enterprise where they sleep in the nacelles to get through the storm?
Catwalk, yep. Or something.
Yeah, man, that's a great episode. You can't do that. You can't do that on Discovery.
You can. You'll just be disconnected.
If you slept in that space, you would just be in space. You just die.
By the way, it did make me think, and it's for convenience and it's the future and it's fine, but, like, it did make me think people in the future, you know, in this future, have to, like, really be doing a lot of self cardio. Because it kind of reminds me a little bit of WALL-E. Like, nobody's walking anywhere. Like, you know, the president and Michael, I don't know, are they in the ready room or, like, and then they're like, you know, red alert, and they just, like, boom, beam to the bridge. I'm like, you could have walked. There was, I get it, but, like, come on now, people.
I mean, that's more plot than anything. We need to get our characters over there immediately so they can continue
dramatic
the
entrance.
Brent-nake space. Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, just, you know,
good. One of these days they're going to accidentally beam into a bulkhead or into another person. Where are you going to be then?
Anyway. All right. Well, guys, any other thoughts about future Trek for the rest of the calendar year of 2021?
No.
It'll be nothing but Discovery.
Well, right? Oh, wait, because we got the break from Prodigy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forced isolation, some would say.
Okay, no, we'll head into... Do we know how many episodes of Discovery there are? We'll say 10.
I don't know. I'm guessing... I mean, what's it been? It's been but 10 to 13
10 to 13-ish,
the last few years.
That's fine. We don't need
to come up. Yeah. So anyway, there we go. So until next week, Daniel, if folks want to talk to you about your favorite Prodigy character, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at oneofdan. That's the number one, not the word. As in, I guess Merv is the best, right? He's pretty awesome. So
Merv is.
I like Rock Top too. So either of those is fun with me.
All right. And Darren, if folks want to talk to you about how they can also set their ringtone to Faith of the Heart, where can they reach you?
And it is 13 episodes, I believe.
Great. Awesome.
So we're getting up through episode 55, which is, you know, what's... Yeah, it's getting there. They can find me...
It gets syndicated, right?
Well, you know, that's not a thing anymore, Philip. Or maybe it would help bring them back to the UK. Oh, well, they could go to drscifi.com, DRSCIFI.
All right. And if folks want to talk to me about how many uniforms I change in a day, they can find me at NC Public Servant. Well, until next week and more Star Trek, old and new, I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Brew.
And I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3333333. 3, 3, 3, 3, 3.